You are listening to the Living Hope International Ministries Weekly Bible Teaching Podcast. For more information, visit us online at lhim.org.
We've been doing the topic of anxiety this is the fourth week of this study. Sean shared four weeks ago, from Be Anxious for Nothing, that God is able to help. Then Vince shared about anxiety and dealing with others. Last week we talked about anxiety and finances. And today I'll be teaching on this topic I've titled Anxiety in Life Situations. I was really struck by the statistics Tom shared on finance, but specifically what Sean shared of what's happened in the world and the amount of people that suffer from anxiety. I was amazed at the amount of students, kids in school that suffer from anxiety. And maybe some of you know people, I do too, of people who've committed suicide or have had someone that they love commit suicide. Since we started this study, there was a very popular Christian pastor out of a megachurch in California who actually wrote books on this topic because he dealt with this in his life, and he committed suicide this past month. And it spoke to me about the seriousness of this topic. It's not something to be played with. So before we start today, I would like to pray. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, I thank you for that you've given us your word, that you've given us your spirit, that Jesus Christ can dwell within us. I ask you to help me in teaching this today, that I can do your will, that it can be the words that you would want spoken. So I pray for this. I pray for all the people in our fellowship, for those listening online that will listen. God, I thank you for their lives and that we can have peace through Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So please turn in your Bible we're going to start in Luke 10. Originally, I was calling this teaching Facing Anxiety at Work and at School. However, as I got to look into this, I realized there are many different types of school. There's elementary school. There's homeschool. There's junior high school. There's senior high school. There's college. And there's grad school. And every type of school has its own issues of anxiety that are all kind of different. And then also with work, there's different kinds of work. There's working for a corporation. There's retail work. There's working in the trades, transportation, entertainment. And there's different jobs. You can be a white-collar worker. You can have an office job. You can be a union blue-collar worker. You can be a manager. You can be a fast food worker, an owner of a company that hires others, or you can be a contract laborer who is responsible to others that you contract labor for. And probably one of the most difficult jobs, you can be a stay-at-home mom and raising children. All these are work. And also, I should add, also, there's volunteer work. And I think, to me, it's amazing through my life, with working with the ministry, working with scouting organizations, the amount of anxiety that comes up in doing volunteer work. We're not even being paid for it, right? But you volunteered. You were in the PTA, right? So all these things, I think, all fall in this category. So I changed the title to Facing Anxiety in Life's Situations. Because I think everybody, no matter where you are in life, will be faced with the temptation for anxiety in this beast that we deal with. When life situations seem to overwhelm us with worries and fears, God's word gives us sound wisdom on what to do and how to be anxious for nothing. Whether it's dealing with anxious thoughts at school, worried about your performance at your job, or being overburdened with cares raising children as a stay-at-home mom, the Bible is filled with clear direction on how to find peace in the midst of uncertainty. So Here are some the topics I want to kind of go over with you. These are some. I'm sure we could do others, but these are ones that stuck out to me. Some biblical wisdom for facing anxiety, and we'll look at each of these individually. First of all, I think you need to know who you serve as a Christian, and that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, recognize that anxious thoughts are not helpful. Another one is don't compare yourself with or judge others. Another is be humble. Another is be thankful, be content. Another is sing. And then lastly, I want to look at that Christ can set you free from anxiety. So please, if you're in your Bibles to Luke 10, before we go there, I want to read these verses up here. Know whom you serve, that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, 6, 5 through 8 says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave, whether a servant or free. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ who you serve. I'm going to try and do a Sean Finnegan thing here. Can I underline? I'm going to see if I can underline. Let's see. Okay. As to Christ, as slaves of Christ, as to the Lord. There's another one up here. With the goodwill, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever he does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Whatsoever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, knowing that it is the Lord Christ, that from the Lord. The key to these verses is the Lord Jesus Christ. That this is a mindset that you should have, that we can have in our day-by-day walk. Whether I'm going to school, whether I'm going to a job 9 to 5, whether I'm going to serve in a ministry event, whether I'm a parent who has to just live day-by-day with the things I have to do, that we would do our things as to Jesus Christ. That our service is to our master. That he's our master in everything that we do. If you serve Jesus Christ, and if you're right with him, you understand? If my relationship with my Lord is right, and I start my day and I say, Lord, what can I do for you today? That my mindset is that whatever I'm doing, he is the Lord of my life, and that is the direction of what I do this day. And this is a daily thing. You have to do it daily. That I'm serving him today. Then all the anxiety stuff kind of takes care of itself. Because when that stuff happens at work, or your boss, or another coworker, or another fellow student, or whatever it is, comes upon you, I don't serve that person. I serve Jesus. And if I'm wrong with him, well, we got to deal with that. But if I'm right with my Lord Jesus Christ, I can take care of anything. All the other stuff I can work through. You know, and when... If I'm more concerned about what Jesus thinks about me than anybody else, everything's going to be okay. Because you know why? Because if I'm concerned about what Jesus is concerned about, I'm not going to be argumentative with my boss. I'm not going to be purloining or filfering or sloughing off at work. I'm not going to be doing something wrong. I'm going to be doing what's right. I'm not going to be messing around at school. If I'm right with Jesus, that's good. But you have to think this. You have to live with this mindset that I'm living for my master. I think this is like the number one thing that I know of in my own life I need to deal with this issue of anxiety, is know who my Lord is. And I need to let his word dwell in me richly. I told you to turn to Luke 10. Luke 10 is this great record that Jesus spoke about in Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 38. Now, as they were traveling around, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him. She speaks to Jesus. He says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to all to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried or anxious and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What did Mary do? She was listening to the word of her master. That's the key. Martha was into the business of the work that she was doing, but she had forgotten her master and the word of her master. And that's why it's such a big key, is to know who is master of your life. And when you are Christ's and you've made him Lord, he is now Lord and master. And if you will embrace that and really live for that, anxiety kind of takes care of itself. It's when we forget that we start running around and be like a Martha, Martha. Look at Matthew 6. Well, go back to Matthew 6. Jesus gives some really great, good wisdom. Matthew 6, verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, or God and mammon. You see, when I serve Jesus Christ, you serve him. It means your eyes are on him. He is everything to you. He's your master. That's the way, as a Christian, we are to live in this world. When I go out into the world, you know, and I go to work, my first priority is to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And when that is my mindset, I don't have to get into the Martha, Martha syndrome. You got it? So that's the first thing I think that we want to acknowledge. Next thing that I put, and this seems like it's an obvious thing, but recognize that anxious thoughts are not helpful. There is nothing helpful about being anxious. It doesn't help. It doesn't help your situation. It's not going to help you to be anxious. You see, anxiety should not be your normal. All right? It shouldn't be your go-to place to get anxious. If it is, you need to recognize this is not helpful. To be anxious is not helpful. What should be our normal is joy. As a Christian, and Sean read these verses the first week, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Joy and rejoicing should be normal. Anxiety, not normal. And I think it's important just to recognize that truth. While we're in Matthew 6, look at verse 25 here. Great verses here. For this reason I say to you, don't be worried, don't be anxious about your life. As to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? You ever seen a bird? A sparrow, right? A sparrow. You ever seen a sparrow have an anxiety attack? He's a sparrow. He flies around. Oh, hey, I think I'll build a nest right here. Oh, yeah. Hey, he's on the, I think I'll, right there. All right. Come on, I'm a bird. I don't care. Life is good. He's a bird. And Jesus says, you're better than a bird, right? Come on. Okay, maybe I'm not better than a dog, but I'm better than a bird, right? I'm better than a bird. And birds don't get uptight. They're not anxious. They're just flying around. I love the example. Aren't you better than a bird? Come on. Verse 27. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? I think King James Version says, add a cubit to his stature. And I think that's actually probably more the text, but I think the NASB sometimes does the figurative. Either way, by being anxious, all right? Can I grow an inch? Can I get taller? I mean, some of you, I think, might like to get taller, but you were born. And some of you taller might like to be shorter, Can you, being anxious, change that? Can you, by being anxious, add 1 minute to your day? You can't do it. You can't do it. So, to me, if you find yourself getting anxious, this should be a signal to you. This is not the way I'm supposed to be. If you find yourself getting anxious, stop. Deal with it. Don't let it fester. It's not what is to be normal. There's a movie I really love. It's actually, I like the movie a lot better than I thought I would when I saw it. It came out a few years ago. I think Steven Spielberg did it. Bridge of Spies. And the lead character in it is Tom Hanks. And the story is that there's this Russian spy who gets caught in America, and he's going to be tried and convicted. And so Tom Hanks is the one that he's appointed as the lawyer who has to defend this Russian spy, right? And the Russian spy is a very cool, collected guy, right? And Tom Hanks is meeting him for the first time, talking to him about the situation, and the guy's just very calm. And Tom Hanks says, you do realize that if we lose this case, it could be the death penalty for you. So aren't you worried? And then the guy looks up and he goes, would it help? I love that line. Is it going to help? No. No, that's the answer to Jesus. No. So recognize anxiety doesn't help a thing. And if you're all anxious, there's something wrong. So that's another thing. That's my second thing. The next thing. Don't compare yourself with or judge others. We've kind of dealt with this when Vince did dealing with other people, but I just want to go again over this, that we don't compare ourselves to other people. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. I see this. You see this in school where kids compare themselves with other kids. I'm not like him. She's not like me. I'm not like that person. You see it at work all the time, where people get concerned about the other person's job and what the other person gets paid, and look at, they don't even show up on time, and look at them, or whatever it is. We start looking at others to judge about our worth, and then we get anxious because we're getting all concerned. And here in Romans says, don't judge another person. You know what? You're not their boss. Now, if you are their boss, well, then that's another issue. But if you're not their boss, it's not your concern. Jesus, this parable is, in, look at Matthew 20, here in Matthew 20. This parable is just really amazing on this. Matthew 20, verse 1. We'll just read it because it kind of explains itself. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them out to the vineyard. So he gets up, and this is like 9 a.m. in the morning, start of the workday, finds some guys. He says, okay, you guys, you want to work the day? Pay you a denarius. Cool. So the guys go to work, right? And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said, you also go to the vineyard. Whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went out. And again, he went out at the sixth hour. Now we're talking about noon. He's still looking for people to work. And about the ninth hour, and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, there's only about 1 hour of work left. Only about 1 hour left in the day. He went out and found others standing around. He said to them, why are you standing here all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. You guys go to work too. Then evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those who first came, they thought that they should receive more. Each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner. They were saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour and you have made them equal to us. It just is not fair. Right? It's not fair. You've made them equal with us who have borne the burden and the searching, the heat of the day. But he answered and said to them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree to me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish? It's my own. Or is your eye envious because I'm generous? Wow. Wow. You see that in the workplace? You want to say something that will cause anxiety? Start being concerned about what everybody else makes. Start getting on in everybody else's business. Don't compare yourself. Like I said, this is the only relationship that matters. This is what matters. All that stuff. Now, if you're working and you would like to get, well, go talk to your boss. And if you're, and if it's not what you need, then go get another job. This is America, right? You can do that. So, you understand? Don't be all concerned about what everybody else is doing. I mean, take care of yourself. Don't compare yourself and judge others. Because you know what? Someone's always going to be smarter than you. They're going to be able to work harder than you. They're going to be better looking than you. They're going to be stronger than you. They're going to be faster than you. Don't compare yourself with others. I heard someone once say, if you want to be discouraged, look at yourself. If you want to be miserable, look at other people. Right? If you want to have no anxiety, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's everything. That really is it. That's the focus. That's the focus. And when that's right, everything's cool. Everything's good. Next thing, be humble. Be humble. We're going to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I have these verses up here, Romans 12:3 and Philippians 2. Romans 12:3 says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Don't think of yourself more than you ought to think. That's a big time. You start thinking about yourself and how important you are. This is just a silly thing, but sometimes when I find myself getting that way, you know, I'll get up in the morning and I'll just stand naked before the mirror and say, man, dude, you're nothing, man, right? It's like, oh, come on. Who are you? You know, you stand naked before God saying, what a jerk I am sometimes. You know, I humble myself. I look at myself and say, I'm not all that. I'm fat. I'm, you know, whatever. I'm just not all that. You know, it's not a bad thing. I don't stick in that mind, but, you know, I just do. You humble yourself. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing from selfishness. Do nothing. Look at that. Nothing through selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So in other words, that's what you do. You don't compare yourself with, you look out for others. You try to love others. You think of other people more important than yourself. This will really help you with this idea of anxiety. Because you know what? The world doesn't revolve around you. It's a good thing to remember. Be humble. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 5, it says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in proper time. Humble yourselves. And then, right on the verge of these words about humbling yourself, look what it says. Casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Part of that stuff with humility is that I could do it all on my own. I don't need anybody else. And you're self-righteous, you're self-reliant, self-dependent, and you don't need anybody else. You got to learn that you need Jesus. You need to learn to cast it on him. You're not just letting your anxiety go nowhere. You're giving it to the Lord. You're casting your care to the one who, he says, I care for you. Give it to me. I can handle it. You can't. All right? It's part of being humble is to give your anxiety to him. Give it to him. I learned this in an amazing way. Connie and I were living in Peoria, Illinois, and a man who taught me more about the first one I really met who was a genuine servant was Joe Garini in Illinois. Joe's since passed away. But we were in the ministry, and a lot of people were getting fired. And Joe got fired, lost his job, and accused of something he didn't do, lost his livelihood, lost his house. He had young children, and just no benefits, lost everything. And Joe was in our living room with just me and Connie. Maybe someone else, but it was just us. And we were mad. We're like, that's just wrong. And Joe was just peaceful as anything. And we're like, why aren't you mad? Why aren't you angry? Why aren't you? He said, what can I do? He said, you know what I do when, you know, I get these thoughts, I just take them in a ball and I put them up there and I give them to God. I just give them to him. And then I just, every day I say, is there anything I can do for it? And usually he says, no, I got it. Wow. It changed my life. In that service thing, to be able to live, and he actually applied this verse in the situation. I mean, he had open game there. We weren't, you know, he could have just blabbered to us because it was just a private thing in the living room. He didn't. He wouldn't. Because he lived So more, his life was dedicated to his master more than it was to an organization, more than it was to his job. He was dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way you live. And this is what you do. You cast it to him. You give it to him. I love that. And then every once in a while, I checked in with him. Can I do anything with that? And he'll just say, no, you can't. I'll take care of it. But just give it to the Lord. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Next thing is be thankful. Be thankful. Be content. Tom read these verses last week. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Luke 3:14, soldiers came to John the Baptist asking what they should do. And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone false, and be content with your wages. At work, that's a work verse. Be content. Be thankful. You got a job, right? You got clothes on your, you got food in your mouth. You got clothes on your body. Be content. Be thankful. You know, in our country, in our USA, for anybody not to be thankful, it's like, you know, I would say I go talk with Timmy Paul about what it's like in the Congo. I mean, it's just ridiculous for here in the United States for anyone to not just be just overjoyed with thankfulness. Look at, let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Just another verse on thankfulness. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Just a note on this. This word rule means like to be an arbitrator. And when I think of this verse, I think of let the peace of Christ be like, you know, like an umpire in a game, right? It comes in, he's out, right? Or safe. Let the peace of Christ, take every thought captive to Christ, and let the peace of Christ arbitrate. Safe. Okay, that thought can come in. Anxious thought, out, right? Out, be like that. Dramatic umpire. Let it umpire in your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And then it says, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So be thankful. And then the next thing I put down here is sing. Learn to enjoy to sing. Psalm 30, verse 4 through 5 says, sing praise to Yahweh, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the moment, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. You see, I really think one of the things is when we are wrapped up in these things where we're tempted with anxiety and anxious thoughts is to lose our joy center. Which should be our default. Our default should be joy, not anxiety. So how do you get back to that place? In my life, singing has been very therapeutic in this endeavor to sing. And here in Colossians 3, it goes on. Colossians 3, verse 15, 16. Let the word of Christ... Again, it's the word of Christ. Well, how can I get that word in my heart? How can I get that word to help me? Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Sing. You see, singing shouldn't just be something you do here on, you know, when you sing to God, It shouldn't just be for our praise time here on Sunday morning. No, God says sing with grace in your heart. You don't have to sing out loud. You don't have to be in tune, right? You don't have to have a good voice. Just sing. Now, so learn some songs that you can, that help you to settle your soul. There's times, you know, where I've been at work, right, my job 28 years, 26 years. But there have been times when, you know, there's something was eating at me. And you know what I did? On my break, I went and I sat in my car. And I just sing. I get away and I sing. And it settles my heart. Now, I love that song Shelby did over. That was a beautiful song, Shelby. That's a little long, maybe. But I'm going to give you a couple songs I learned at family camp. These are some other ones, especially in light of this, that were just, I sing these. I don't sing them to everybody else. I sing them to me and to God. But these are songs I learned at family camp at our Lakeside Sing, Hillside Sing many, many years ago. They're just beautiful songs on this. And they're in the back of your program. But these are great. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. For God's taking care of you. You're never alone. He'll never forsake you. You're God's child, his son, his own. Look at him, look at him. Hear what he says. These words are his, not mine. Just simply believe him and know that he loves you. His promises always come true. It's a beautiful song. Just to settle your heart. Settle down. Let the peace of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you, singing and admonishing your soul with songs that bring you back to a state of joy. And this other one, I will cast all my cares upon you. I'll lay every burden down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Let's sing that together. Let's all try and sing this, okay? I know I'm not holding the tune, but let's try it. I will cast all my cares upon you. I'll lay every burden down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. And then just settle you. And just say, whoo, I feel pretty good. I feel, what was that anxiety? It's gone. Oh, baby. Why? Because I sing. It is a great thing. And you find the songs that sing to your heart, to speak to your heart, and sing them. Sing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do in light of this. And then finally, I'd like to turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. The first week when we did this, Sean said, what God's word says is be anxious for nothing. Nothing. So it has to be possible, right? It has to be possible. He wouldn't ask us to do something if he didn't enable us to do it, to have no anxiety. Christ said these, John 8:31-32, he said, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed on him, if you continue in my word, Then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You will be freed from fear, free from anxiety. Romans 8:15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You can be delivered from fear. And in Psalm 34, this great verses that David wrote, verse 1, he said, I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in Yahweh. The humble will hear it and what? Rejoice. Oh, magnify Yahweh within me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. I sought Yahweh. And he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. He answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. And I know I've spoken with people. I can read them the Bible. I can read them these verses. I can tell them about the Holy Spirit. I can baptize them with water. I can lead them into speaking in tongues. And I've seen people that still, this is like overwhelming anxiety they can't shake. It's bigger, for some reason, there's some block in their life, they can't get over it. If you're in that state, don't let it sit and fester. Get help. Before we were a church, we were a counseling center. And we have people here to counsel. We have people that will sit with you. And I can tell you right now, what our goal is when we counsel people is to lead you to Christ. Because I don't think medication and drugs, they can help. They can maybe subdue it, maybe get you through a day. But Christ can deliver you. And I know this not just because I read it here in light of this topic of anxiety. I know it because I experienced it myself. Talking about anxiety in school, I was a redheaded, had a lot of hair, redhead hair. I was a really happy boy. I loved everybody. I was so excited going to school. As an elementary student. Then I rode on the bus. Kids are really mean. And I'd get to school, and kids are really mean. The bullies would make fun of me. The girls would laugh at me. By the time I got to junior high, I could not go up and talk to anybody. Truly, I was full of fear. Anytime I tried to do anything, it seemed like everybody was better than me. In junior high, I mean, elementary school was rough, but junior high was the worst. I just was like shivered up and like a little fearful kid. I did okay with my grades, but inside I was just this mesh of fear. I couldn't talk to anybody. And I started high school, sophomore in high school. I still remember one of the first weeks in high school. They got the lockers, and right near my locker were all the cheerleaders, right? And I remember going to my locker and looking over, and I kind of smile, right? Thinking maybe And I just got this look like, and then you could see them start laughing and they're pointing at me. And, you know, give me, and I just, like, oh, God. At that same time in my life, I took a Bible class. And I came to a session in that class. And I learned that it's Christ in me. That Jesus Christ is in me. Not just words on a page. I'm not talking just that I know I have this you know, this educational knowledge of Jesus. But that Jesus is in me. And that night, such a clear, it was miraculous. I'm sitting on my bed, and Jesus says to me, through the Spirit, yes. I'm with you. Yes. And I tell you what, Jesus is in me. Jesus Christ is in me. And that night, just like, it was boom, that anxiety and that fear of what people thought about me, it went. I'm telling you, it went. And it hasn't come back. It hasn't come back. It literally left. This really happened. Next day at school, all the cheerleaders are what? I walk up. Hello, girls. I'm John Corey. How are you doing? And I'm sure they gave me the same look before. But I didn't care. You know why? Because Jesus is with me. And I'm with Jesus. I'm with Christ. It didn't. And then I went to the football, the best football player who never gave me the time of day. He said, hey, Kurt, have a great game this weekend. Looking forward to it. And he's like. Then I went to the guys that were the drug, you know, the druggy kids or whatever, you know, that, you know, who I never talked to before. I said, how are you guys doing, man? I'd like to meet you. I didn't care. And to this day, I don't care. Just like that, boom, the anxiety left. It was miraculous because I sought the Lord. And he didn't just, it went. I can't teach you how to do that. I can't put that in. Jesus can. And I'm telling you, if you struggle with this, don't let it fester. Because deliverance is available. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done for us through Christ Jesus. God, that we don't have to live in the shadow of death. We don't have to live with fear. Lord, we can live in your presence, that your presence can dwell within us, and that you can deliver us from all fear and anxiety. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit us at lhim.org and subscribe to receive email updates so you won't miss out on new teachings, classes, and events. See you next week.